Father, we come to you again and thank you for the Sunday school hour. And now again, songs have been sung to bring us into the very presence of God. Dear Lord, to recognize who you are, and recognize how much you loved us and the things you did for us in this life. Now we pray we grow some by being here this morning. And we're going to give you honor and praise, and may you use this frail body. And may there be between the pew and the pulpit accommodation today where the Holy Spirit could really use us all as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. I want to start the message off this morning by asking this question. What do you think of when I say these words? I could use a number, I'm going to just use two. What do you think of when I say this word? Hollywood. I didn't say Hollywood, I said Hollywood. What do you think of? You just think yourself for a few minutes. There's not anywhere in this world, probably, that's had any type of education or any type of news media or any type of presenting films or internet or whatever it may be. If they have access to films and movies and television and internet, there's probably not any place in this world, unless they have not been able to have access to some of those means, they don't know what Hollywood is. Would you at least say amen to that? Or don't you know? If you say you don't, you lied. I know that. You don't see anything on television much, or any movies of any kind, if you go to movies, or anything on the internet much that you don't be confronted with, something that come out of Hollywood. Or if not, the culture that's there, the system that's there, has affected it somewhere or another. Now, I understand today, they tell me, and articles are being read, that years ago, all movies were made in Hollywood about all movies. But today, they've made it all over the world. But it didn't make no difference if it's made all over the world. When you say Hollywood, you realize that's where it all started. Amen? Yeah. But on the other hand, when I say Fellowship Baptist Church, what do you think of? I hope you think of the place, as one person said recently, where the gospel and the Bible is preached. Amen. Now, everything else is leading up to that. And when everything else is where it should be, God will be honoring the preaching because the music enhances the preaching. Believe me, I've been preached a lot of places, and I know when the music is right and God is honored with the music, the preaching is going to be much better. Where it's not, it's a little harder to preach. It isn't that the Word of God can't be powerful, but atmosphere sometimes affects the way we listen. So I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, Hollywood's doctrine. Because there has come a doctrine out of that place through the years that has influenced our culture today that you and I, yes, even Christians, are influenced by. And many times we should not be, but we are. That's the way, just the way it is. I hope this will be a short sermon. I know you hope it is too. Amen. But I read recently where, and you probably like this sermon. I read recently where the shortest sermon that's ever been preached was preached literally. According to statistics, it was preached by a chaplain at Payne College, P-A-I-N College, in Georgia. And the subject of the title was much longer than actually the message itself. Here, the subject was, the topic was, what does Christ answer when we ask, Lord, what is there in religion for me? Now, that was his topic. What does Christ answer when we ask, Lord, what is there in religion for me? And so he got up and gave his topic. And he says, now I'm going to preach the message, nothing! And sat down. I don't know if I've ever heard a message that short before, do you? And they dismissed. And someone asked him later, said, well, I never heard such a message in my life. How long did it take you to get that message up? He said, 20 years of my life. And boy, that hit me when I read that. Because religion offers you nothing. It may be temporarily a little something, but it offers us nothing whatsoever. And he said, it took me 20 years of my life to find out that when it comes to religion, it offers me nothing. But Jesus offers me everything. That's the difference, you see, when we think about life. And I wonder, the years that Hollywood has been in the entertainment business and literally has offered many things that's actually literally changed our culture today, and not only ours, but around the world. And as it does that, it takes years of gradually bringing us to a point, and their philosophy takes us away from God as we experience and practice the things that actually are done. And I hope you see this with spiritual eyes today. I read where a blind man was on the street on the corner with a tin cup, had black glasses on, and he had the cup out, and this a cup sticking out. And this businessman came by with a real nice suit on and everything, and he dropped a dime in the cup. And he said, "Cling!" And the man, blind man, lifted his glasses like that to see what was that in the cup. And it upset the guy with the suit on. And he said, "Well, I thought you were blind." He said, "No, sir." He said, "I'm just filling in for the guy that's blind." He said, "You're what?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm filling in for the guy that's blind." He said, "Well, where is he at?" And this guy said, "Oh, it's his afternoon's off. He's gone to the movies." I'd got my dime back, I believe, don't you? I don't want us to be blind about what I'm going to say, because I believe with all my heart, this message today gives an insight of what can be done in what the era where the world looks at as being normal and not real bad, but gradually changes things for the worse down through the years. As a matter of fact, Hollywood seems almost symbolic to what American culture is today. Now, I want to read 1 John chapter 1, 2, verse 15, 16, and 17. Because this is much Bible as John 3:16. It's written by the same Holy Spirit. It's written by the same man, John. And he said this, "Love not the world." Now, the word love here is the Greek word agape. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that means something more than just general. That means express itself primarily to God in obedience to His Word when you use it by God loved us. God's love is a love that's He loves us even though we don't deserve His love. It is a love completely towards us. And now John is saying to us who are saved that we're not to love, we're not to give that same type of love that Christ deserves and should have to this world. He says, love not the world. Love not the cosmos that you're in more than God. And then he says this, neither the things that are in the world. Love not the world. Don't show this express obedience to the world like you should to God and His Word. In other words, He ends up fulfilling, when you have this love, you fulfill Matthew 6:33 when it said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added." Now watch these words, laying the foundation for the topic. If any man love the world, there's it again. Love not the world, the cosmos, nor the things in that world. But He says, if any man love with this type of love to the world, He says that the love of the Father is not in him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's horrifying. That one could practice in this world love for something and prove that the love of God's not in them when they may say the love of God is in them. This is serious business. And then he goes on and he says, what's in the world? For that is, in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. This is not of the Father. But it's of the world. It's of the world, cosmos, system. Then he goes on and he says, and the world passes away. Why is it we should not show this type of love to the world system? Because it's passing away. It's temporary. It won't last long. It will be gone. It can be gone faster than we can get it. It can leave us a lot faster than it takes to get it. And then he says that the world passes away. And the lust thereof. But then I like the last phrase, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, I want to look at something that I think you were, God help me put it together for the purpose that you would understand that there are places like Hollywood that through the years have entertained us and in turn have changed us as human beings because of what they produced for us to look at, to follow after, and to many times model. So much of our society revolves around the philosophies and the idea of what we consider the system of Hollywood. Kids grew up wanting to be just like those Hollywood stars. And I guarantee not one in here didn't want to do that. Say, preacher, you better believe it. Listen, they try to imitate their lives as many ways as they can. So did we. Thank God when I came along in my days, it's cowboys and Indians and Tarzan. That's about it. They had a few others, but we didn't go. No, most things cowboys and Indians. And boy, you say you imitate, you better believe it. I had my horse, tobacco stick with a string tied around it. Amen. And I could ride it anywhere. You didn't have to look after it. You didn't have to take care of it. When you got ready, it'd be there. You've heard me say it before. I mimicked everything. I had my little $2 pistol. Don't look at me like you did too. Some of you girls play cowgirls. Amen. I put cans on my feet. You know why? Anybody ever done that? Put oil cans on your feet, drive around your soles of your shoes. You know why? It sounds like a horse. Clunk, 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 clunk. Your soles and barefoot don't sound like a horse. We all mimic these stars instantly. But I'll tell you this, as a boy, I didn't ever hear anybody use a cuss word. I didn't ever hear anybody use God's name in vain. And there's always the good against the bad. I'll tell you this day, they'll cuss use God's name in vain. They'll do everything impossible. And there's a time people frown at that. They don't even frown at it no more. In fact, some people, if they have accident, run across something, won't even change the dial. They just go ahead and listen to it. Well, I'm telling you, we become numb to things in life because we're creatures of gradualism and we kind of go with the tide like that, you see. Today, many of these stars, though, think that they're above the law. They think they can get away with just about anything. When they become world known and a star and make money, we've seen a lot of these, really think they could do anything and get by with it. And by the way, some do. Because when you have the money, you see. Many, if not most of these people, constantly compromise their morals. Hollywood has been a big influence in the moral decline of our nation. The bottom line is that Hollywood wants you to buy into their philosophy, and because their existence is profit from what we buy. And anything satisfied the flesh will spend more money than not being satisfied. If you go somewhere and none of the flesh is not satisfied, and you're looking to be satisfied in the flesh, you won't go back. And if you go look at something, you won't look at it again. It's got to be some attraction to draw us to it, for us to spend our money to it, and they have literally bought into that. To buy into the culture, idea, and lifestyle they live by, this literally makes them rich. Most people try to model themselves after their models. Hollywood has become a children's teacher and primary caregiver instead of their parents teaching them as what is right and wrong. Most of the time they sit now because television in the last number of years has been a babysitter. And many times they see things that you and I could not have saw if we'd went to the red light district. What I'm saying to you, we have changed due to the culture that such as this has influenced down through the years. America has more, statistics I read 2 weeks ago, America has more television than they do bathtubs. That's interesting. That simply means we put more in here than we are cleaning our body. You say, I don't need a bathtub to clean the body. Well, how do you clean your body then? Satan uses Hollywood as a tool to manipulate people away from God. And I believe that. I believe it all in my heart. Over a period of looking at something for 30, 45, 50, 60 minutes, you're actually, if you keep looking at it, and there's hit in that agenda to take one from God, it gets a little bit further because it doesn't do it bluntly, it does it gradually. Now let me give you four quick points about Hollywood's doctrine and see if you will not agree with me. If I understand, I'm old enough to understand now. I've seen a lot in the last 70 years. If I understand anything, I understand that one main line that comes out of Hollywood is that faith is not intelligent. If you have faith, you don't have intelligence. And if you really want to be unintelligent, you have faith in the true and living God. Because to them, God is anything anybody wants Him to be. And since it's that way, they can make fun at it. And when they go to talk to someone, it'll be someone who's a scholar who doesn't know God. And you get someone who does know God and begins to say what the Scripture says, and all of a sudden they consider them a fanatic or not being intelligible enough to be able to talk to and carry a good conversation. Now, they say faith is not intelligent enough. If you believe in God, in other words, God does not exist to them in the way that the Bible says He does. Therefore, if you say that God does exist, then your faith is not intelligible enough. You have just been brainwashed. You have just been brought to a point in turn that someone has led you down a lane that is not even walkable as far as they're concerned. Of course, we know this is a lie that our culture wants to believe. Why is it that the culture wants to believe there's no God? If there's no God, there's no accountability. So why wouldn't a man do what he wants to do if he's not to be accountable? Don't tell me if you held accountable to something, it caused you to watch what you do. And you talk about, in our particular day, that crime, that certain punishments of crime don't do any good. Don't tell me it won't do some good if you do it long enough. Because God Himself teaches us that crime, that sin needs to be punished. They believe that no person with real intelligence can accept a belief in God and the true and living God. Now, I believe that having a belief in God is an intelligent choice. I believe that. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans 1 and down a few verses, it says that man can look at what God has created and he's without excuse. So I can't see God if He's around. Yeah, but you can see what He made. And God said, that's enough to let you know that I exist. Now, if you really want to know me, you look at what I made and you begin to seek for me while I'm seeking for you, and I'll reveal to you who I really am. But you'll never really understand it looking at things. I'm more than things. And so here, no person who has intelligence really believe in God. Now, I believe that belief in God's intelligent. Why? I believe God exists. I believe that. Say, preacher, why? I believe because creation gives man no excuse in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. I believe it because belief in God is logical to me because of what I can see. Don't tell me what I can't see. Just look at what I can see. And by the way, you and I can see more than man's ever seen. We have the technology of our day to go places with sight that you and I, that man in history has never been able to see before. And as so we look at the things that are seen and we realize this blows our mind. You look at space. You look at matter. You look at little planet Earth. You look at the anatomy of the body. You look how you're wonderful and made. You look at the things that goes on, the unseen things that the microscope and other things bring up. And you mean tell me there's not a supreme mind behind that? That's enough to let me know. He's somewhere or another. Where can I find Him? Right here in this precious book. This book tells us everything we need to know about Him. Belief in God is logical to me because what I can see. They say they cannot believe in God because they cannot see. I can't see air. But I'll tell you this, I'm not going to stop breathing just because I can't see air. You do, you bear you and me. What am I saying? Is it logical then to say there's no such a thing as air since we can't see it? You say, but I can see the effect of it. Yeah, and the real God may see effect of too. Look at His creation. That's the effect of a real God. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's an amazing thing. God has not left us ignorant. He's not left us ignorant. It amazes me what happens when you begin to study Scripture, you study for years, and all of a sudden God will give a phrase here and there that just bounces out in a way for exploitation of understanding and how He brings the reality, how great God is, to your heart as you study for what He wants you to do and so forth. I can't see a person's brain, but that's certainly no evidence they don't have one. I know you've got one because you made a decision to come here this morning. If not, they'd tell you where you'd end up if you didn't have a brain. Amen? But that doesn't mean just because you can't see it. Now you say, why? Well, you see the evidence. That's exactly right. That's what God is telling. Man's without excuse. There's enough around to be seen to know that man could not have made it, and there's nothing could have happened by chance. And God is very plain about that. I know air exists because I see the effect of it. I also know God exists because I can see and feel Him. But they say God doesn't exist. Faith is not intelligence because we don't really believe He exists. Oh, you can have your faith if you want to have it, but let it just be anything. Don't get on somebody's faith because it's not like yours. They also say that God is not the creator. And they don't understand what the writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, 2, and 3. We say that by faith we trust Him as our Savior. And they come back and they say, well, you believe in God. You say He's the creator. Yes. How do you know that? Well, but what I see lets me know there's some mind behind it, but by faith I know it's so. And since they don't have, they say faith is not intelligent enough, then they look for other answers. But I will say to you, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's speaking to the child of God. Faith, I look at all of this and I think about God, and faith is the substance. That is it is literally the reality, the quality, the very thing hoped for, expected. And then he says, for the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof of things not seen. It proves things we see proves that there's a God which you cannot see. And he says, therefore by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we, Paul said, and I believe he wrote the book of Hebrews, the writer said we, speaking to the one who's been saved. Through faith, we understand. We understand how? Through faith. We understand by looking at it? No, sir. It's too vast to understand. In fact, science spends billions of dollars trying to understand it today. We will never completely understand all that God has made in this life. But through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. How? By some great unknown explosion? No! By the Word of God, he says. The Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. They say faith is not intelligent. That God does not exist. That He is not the creator in life. And yet Hollywood and many high school biology classes teach the theory called evolution. And that's all it is, just the theory. It's not a fact, it's a theory. It cannot be a fact. They may say it's a fact, but it cannot be a fact because it's never been analyzed by a human brain. By being there when it happened. You understand what I'm talking about? You have a lot of ifs when you're not there seeing it happen. They do not want you to believe that God is the creator. Not only do they look at the fact that they say that God is not the creator, and they think that God does not exist, they say the Bible is not accurate. Therefore, you say, where do you get your information? From the Bible. Well, we have to know the Bible is not accurate enough. It's inaccurate. Oh? Well, look how many times it's been written. By the way, that's one of the things I think happened today where many people use that if it was accurate, you'd never have to rewrite it. Once it's translated into a language, it should be enough. If there is a Holy Spirit, that's the way to look at it behind it. And therefore, but it's rewritten. I'm talking about the world, those who rewrite to know it's a money-making type thing, you see. They always pick so-called scholars who speak with authority refuting the Bible truth. They dig to refute Bible history trying to cause the doubt in people's mind. They never allow you to hear both sides of the story. And then when you get to the point to deny God's existence and deny the fact that He's creator and then, you know, deny the Bible has been not accurate, then they deny that Jesus is the only way. Why? Because if all the other is wrong, then why not believe that what He says about Christ is wrong? By the way, that's the mentality of the world. And when you're fed through the entertainment mode, which all of us are like to be entertained, when we're fed through the entertainment mode of this world, it's programming those from a little children up to get to the point where, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't be surprised if we don't see something change that the generation coming up, the Lord don't come back, it'll be worse than this generation. You said the Lord said that, but do you understand why He said that? Because the only thing that can change has been eliminated or minimized. And God has been made anything except who he really is. Again, it will soon be against the law to proclaim Jesus Christ as the only way of life. Mark it down. Already, in essence, to some eras, it's almost against the law. I mean, they almost call you blasphemer when you say that Jesus Christ is the only way that you can get to God the Father. They believe that Jesus is only one way. They literally refuse to believe in John 14:6, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. They refuse to believe that, and there's nothing to find in their promotion of anything that will set that truth in such a way. They try to make you believe that faith in Christ only makes you less intelligent. The second thing I want you to note, and you'd have to say amen to this too, if you watch what's going on in society today, is this. Another line that comes out of Hollywood is that marriage is not sacred. First, faith is not intelligent enough. I mean, all a bunch of people who are brainwashed and led around with some elite people believe that. Well, that's the reason I say over and over again, who am I going to believe? Somebody who don't know or believe God. I'm going to believe God. And you say, well, how do you know it's God? Well, listen, this book has proved itself to me over the years. It's proved me through the years to know that He is alive and well. And He's still doing what He set out to do, even in the first century of time, in the first day of time, even with Adam and Eve. So again, marriage is not sacred. Hollywood views the sanctity of marriage and the home having no value whatsoever. They say that they are giving the public what it wants and its demands. So all you've got is adultery and fornication, homosexuality, ungodliness, using God's name in vain. At least there was a time a few years ago when they began to use God's name in vain. They brought it out. They don't do it no more. Come to the place now, society accepts as a whole. Why blot it out? And I've got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. This world is going Sodom and Gomorrah, and one of these days, you don't have to go to X places to see nude people. It'll be right on regular television. We've come too far for it not to be there. You just wait. There's programming minds away from God, even to the place that's trying to silence the Word of God against anything that humanity wants to do, as long as they feel that their God is sanctioned it somehow or another. To emphasize the truth of Scriptures, to be called a hater of people, or be called a right-wing extremist today. Did you know, you may not have heard this, but if you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way you can get to God the Father, you're classified by own government today as a right-wing extremist. I have an article here written by Oliver North. I'll read it all, but according to the U.S. government, I am an extremist. He said, I am a Christian and meet regularly with other Christians to study God's Word. My faith convinces me the prophecies of the Holy Bible are true. I believe in the sanctity of human life. Sound like one of us. Oppose abortion and want to preserve marriage in the union of a man and a woman. I own several firearms that I fire. Frequently, I fervently support the sovereignty of the United States. I am deeply concerned about our economy. I am concerned about increasing high taxes, illegal immigrants, soaring unemployment, actions of our government that will bury my children beneath a mountain of debt. Apparently, all of this makes me a right-wing extremist. At least, that's what it says in the April 7th assessment issue of the Office of Intelligence and Analysis at the Department of Homeland Security. The 9-page report entitled Right Wing Extremists. Neither you nor I evidently was ever supposed to read this assessment. At the bottom of the cover page, it's warning that it's not to be released to the public media or any personnel who do not have a valid need to know. We're Americans. We have a need to know what's going on in our government. The assessment purports to alert law enforcement officials that right-wing extremists, and the terms used some 35 times in the tent or intent, and or in the article or intended, they exploit Americans who have strongly held beliefs on everything from Christian faith to rise in unemployment, U.S. sovereignty, and the Second Amendment. It vilifies that those of us in these categories by reference. In those, they put Christians in their faith in reference to neo-Nazis, racists, militants, white supremacists, and other hate groups. Notable that the report includes a warning that right-wing extremists may include groups of individuals that are dedicated to a single issue, such as opposing to abortion and immigration. They also military veterans, and because they've been used nowadays to do their training in certain ways that the government considers to be not right for the government. And he goes on, he said, Mr. Obama should disavow the report publicly and fire the officials for issuing it, because, ladies and gentlemen, I am not a left-wing extremist. I am not a right-wing extremist. I am a Bible believer. Amen. Call me anything you want to, but just put it at the end. You can call me anything you want to, but just put it at the end. He's a Bible believer. And that just covered the whole thing. What do you say it? I'm saying that Hollywood, a line coming out of Hollywood, that marriage is not sacred. That Christianity is really a right-wing extremist than... Isn't it amazing? If that were true, and it's not, but if that were true, for 200 years we've been that way. Since America was established, it's been that way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's terrible times we're living in. To emphasize the truth of Scriptures, to be called a hater of people. The Scriptures say that these things are wrong. And it also said wrong is wrong. I don't care if the whole 6 billion people on the face of the earth does it. When God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And then, such sins show people acting contrary to God's that He created them. Hollywood portrayed extramarital affairs as normal. They make such acceptable and comical, even to the place that people are laughing and comical and say, boy, wasn't that a funny show, when they blaspheme the thing that God has said, even about marriages. Hollywood portrays extramarital as normal. They have got most people believing that marriage is no longer a precious thing in God's sight. Hollywood's glamorizes sin like drinking and filthy language and gambling and adultery and fornication. It glamorizes all of that. These things are not proper for God's people. The Bible declares that. Have we come to the place that we don't want to listen to what the Bible has to say because the flesh is so satisfied and gratified for where we're living at? We must not forget who our Lord is of our lives. And then not only did I find that it comes out of Hollywood that faith is not intelligent and that marriage is not sacred, but another line is that God's authority doesn't really matter in our age. We live in a town that's different than old folks years ago. This drives people to worship themselves. And they live like they are their own gods. They do not have to submit to God, and they never will until the fear strikes their heart in the sense of God dealing with them. Such feel that to submit your will to another makes you weak. If I submit my will to someone else, we're taught it makes you weak. It makes you less than a person to submit your will to someone else. And yet you find this, dictators will cause you to submit to their will or you'll die. And God is a merciful God. He'll tell you about Himself. He'll give people who sold out to God and understand what it is, that when you literally love Him in the sense that where that's the priority of love, nothing else can interfere with that when it comes to the things of God. And He'll raise them up in this land until Jesus comes back. They may get far between, but they'll be raised up because He'll have a voice. He'll have a voice till He comes back. Then He will be the voice when He comes back at that time. You see, they say you decide what is right and wrong. If it feels good to you, just go ahead and do it. It must be all right. You wouldn't do it if you didn't thought it was wrong. Well, when you think something is wrong is right, the flesh is going to do it. If it feels good right then, it must be all right. That's not what we see Paul saying to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. In Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You think Christ would do these things? He said, Christ liveth in me. And now he said, the life which I now live, the life which we now live right now, Paul was saying, that includes in our day, the now can be in our day that we are living. He says, I live by the faith of God, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So one line is faith is not intelligent. Another line coming out of Hollywood is marriage is not sacred. Another line is the authority does not matter as far as coming from God, since no one can really nail down who God is. Who is the authority? Anyone who wants to think what they want to think. And the fourth one, another line, is that this old world can satisfy. And that's what John is teaching us here in John, 1 John 2. It cannot satisfy. It teaches us that it can. But it's been proven over and over that it cannot. In John chapter 10, Gospel of John, in chapter 10, Jesus said that He came that we might have life and have it, watch this, more abundantly. I love that. Now, think with me, folks. We're going home. If Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, then can things give you more abundant in life what he can? If not, he lied. If things can replace what Jesus did, Jesus lied. He's not a liar. Satan is a liar to get us to believe that things can do that. And what happens? We come up very short before God one day and it's too late. This does not come from things. This abundant life does not come from things. Some of the biggest stars with the most money that's ever been made are not happy. This is not happy. I heard one say, back up a year, and I told you a few months ago, when I'm said interviewed on television, he said, listen, I can go anywhere I want to, buy anything I want to, live anywhere I want to live. He said, you tell me why I'm not happy. I could have told him. By the way, you could have too, if you know the Lord. You say, well, Lord, don't make me all that happy. Maybe you don't know enough about him. See, you got to do more than just say, I believe that he can save me. In fact, a lot of times, that's all you've got. You may not have it. God is too great not to reveal himself to us if you're truly born again into the family of God. And again, you choose who you're going to serve. The Lord or the world? 1 John 2:15 tells us that. And he says, while you're making that decision, look, keep this mind, love not. Do not put your love only into the things of the world. Love not the world, things in the world. He said, again, he said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, everything in the world accumulated together. In John 10 and verse 10, you remember that when, I think it was where Jesus said, if a man gained the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? Let's see if I can find that. Well, let's see. Matthew. Let's look at Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, turn there just a moment. Many look for that, but many of these are broken. We see in Hollywood stars before they die. You choose one, you're going to serve the Lord or the world. See, one leaves you broke, empty, hungering for more and more. The other brings salvation and hope. You tell me which one really satisfies. One, in this life, gives everything just about one could have, feels happy and not happy, and yet it leaves them in the end results broke, hungry, searching, empty, searching for more and more. The other offers us abundant life. You don't measure that with man's terms. You measure it with God's terms. Matthew again says, verse 25, or chapter 16, verse 25, for whosoever will save his life and shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? But what, verse 20, that's for unsafe. He says, praise God, I'm saved. Praise God, they came, I've responded to the gospel. Holy Spirit drew me to the Lamb of God. I saw him and I trusted him. But what about after being saved? Watch verse 27. He says, and the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Not only is he saying about salvation, what should a profit for a man shall gain the whole world as his own soul, but what should it profit for a man to be saved and gain all this world and miss out in serving God? See, the meaning for verse 27 is the same as for verse 26 when it comes to the child of God. And here's the thing. When you look at California, and you look at Hollywood, they say Beverly Hills, California, the home of the Hollywood stars, has more psychiatrists per square mile than any other community in the world. It's interesting. They say that for every 171 residents in that city, they have a psychiatrist. You say, well, they're moving there because they got all the money. It may be. They're probably making them rich, amen? But I'm saying to you, they don't have that which brings peace and tranquility. May God help us destroy Hollywood's doctrine and replace it with good biblical doctrine. Say, preacher, well, what makes you right? I'm not saying. Look at it. Read it. Hey, you can't read. When you read verse chapter 16, verse 25, 26, and 27, you can't read any other way than I've read it to you. When you read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, 16, and 17, you can't read any other way I read it unless you've got a different Bible, then you're wrong. I mean, this is the way it was written. In our English Bible, translated years ago. And you'll even find probably in some of those rewritten have a little touch of what this is talking about. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Jesus Christ loved you so much that He came and died that you could have life. Don't listen to that Hollywood stuff. You say, well, they don't make a lot of pictures in Hollywood. But I'm saying the cosmos, the system that they started is still worldwide. The same mentality is still worldwide. Worldwide today that it started years ago. And by the way, it's mushrooming. It's mushrooming. For America is the main place of making movies. They're making them everywhere now. They still have the same mentality. Only God can change that, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you this. When you understand how much He loved you, and you realize how great this is. I was just amazing the other day as I was reading in John chapter 4 what Jesus told that lady and the Samaritan woman. And how it just bounced out on me like a what Jesus said. I'm going to read that to you and I'm going to close. Give you something that's going to help me in the future, a message I'm working on now. But here's what the Lord said in verse 10 to this lady. She's talking about giving some drink and he asked the Samaritan for water, and she said, well, I'm a Jew. And you know, you read before that, and then Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you just knew, and who it is that saith to thee. Jesus said, hey, explanation would be gone if you just knew the gift of God. If you knew who it is that saith to thee, watch this, give me to drink. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew who says that to you, give me this water to drink. He said, thou wouldest ask of Him, and He'd give you living water. Jesus said, if you just listen and let it be explained to you who I am the gift of God. I am eternal life. I am the living water. You ask for it. That's positive. You know what it is? Most people won't listen long enough to know who He is. I heard His name. I've seen a bunch of people had His name. They live like the devil. Yeah, and that's where they're going, where the devil's at too. But Jesus said, if you know me, the gift. Well, I'm looking forward to that. You know me. You know me. The gift of God. And who it is that said to thee, give me this water. He said, not only you'd give me water, you'd ask me for my water. Living water. You know the reason if you're not saved today? You've put your mind the fact that you refuse to believe who Jesus really is. And He'll go no further when that happens. Someone will hear that in a few minutes by way of radio. They just absolutely refuse to believe who He is. And He said, if you receive the gift, believe that I'm who I say I am. You ask for me. I won't just have to say, come and get it. You ask for me for this living water. That's how powerful He is. And the preaching of God's Word. No wonder the world's eliminating it. Let us pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the precious Word of God. I thank You, Father, that's all we have. And so when people turn against that, they have to turn against what we say and who we are. But I pray You'd bless today as we understand. We didn't get here because of that we decided something on our just to go against God. Lord, we've been programmed as human beings year after year after year after year, what we see, where we go, the places we look at. Measure ourselves with other people rather than God, and we're not as bad as some, so therefore we don't really do much about what we should be doing. We have the reason. God understands this. God understands that. And all of this is making us move further from the Lord. And then we wonder why. In these days, we don't see the great things happen like many have seen in the past. I pray You'd bless the Word today, Lord. Help us understand. Help us understand. Please help us understand that we're going to understand about You. We're going to have to get in this book. We've got to do more than just say, I read it. We're going to have to let You speak to us. And then when You speak to us, we'll have to spend hours on certain portions of Scripture, Lord, because You spoke to us about that suddenly and gave us a spiritual jewel that is so great, we just can't get away from it until you develop around our heart to move in a direction. Dear Father, this morning, if there's one here or in one of the other churches or by Ray Radio that hears this message, I pray they see how much Jesus loved them, how much you love them. They'll trust Jesus as Savior. And for once in their life, they won't begin to make excuses, but look around and say, who made this? It's got to be a God. God, I want to know who you are. I want to know more than anything else in the world who you are. Please get someone to me. Help someone reveal it so I can understand it. Because I desire to really know you. Someone here today may say they love God, but the love is worldly rather than what we see here. Love not the world, the agape. Nothing else shall really matter. A love that is dedicated to serving the living God. Help us see that. One day someone may not care much for me now, but when we get to heaven, the many things are going to be said in that day. I believe because if I'm right and they're wrong and they're saved, when they get to heaven one day, Lord, they'll meet me on the street of gold and say, preacher, thank you for standing true to the Word of God. If I'm wrong, then I'll have to give account to you. And dear Father, that horrifies me. Please give us wisdom in these last days to go biblically in doctrine and not the cosmos Hollywood style. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.